Manuscript Releases, Volume 1, Numbers 19 to 96. M.R., Number 69. Materials for Jemison's textbook, A Prophet Among You. Release requested by Jemison for the college textbook on the Spirit of Prophecy. I see, as I never expected to see, that the good hand of the Lord is with me. Oh, it has been so wonderfully apparent in providing this beautiful home in this retired place. I was visited by the angel of the Lord on the boat, and instruction was given me, which I do not yet dare to speak. I will sometime give the whole history of my experience on the boat. It is so solemn, so sacred a matter that I do not feel like talking about it. But one thing I do know, of which I may speak, and that is that it was in the order of God that I came to America just at this time. It was against my wishes, for I wanted to remain in Australia. I loved the people, and I loved my work. I have not lost my love for Australia, nor my interest in the workers there. Letter 158, 1900, page 7. To Sister Wilson, November 12, 1900. I have been shown faults and wrongs of individuals who professed perfect confidence in the visions, but found fault with the instrument. The natural feelings of their heart rise up in rebellion against the visions which had exposed their errors and evil. Instead of humbly acknowledging they had erred, they found fault with the manner in which the vision was delivered. They took the position that a part of it was correct and a part of it was a mistake, that I had been told circumstances and thought that the Lord had shown them to me in vision. Has God placed his work in such a careless manner that man could fashion it to suit his own inclinations, receive that which was agreeable to him, and reject a portion? Would God give visions to correct his people of their errors and then trust to the erring one's judgment to receive or reject what portion of them he pleased? What would be the use of visions in the church if held in this light, or if erring individuals in their darkness were left to make what application of them they pleased? This is not the way that God works. If God reproves his people through an individual, he does not leave the one corrected to guess at matters and the message to become corrupted in reaching the person it is designed to correct. God gives the message and then takes especial care that it is not corrupted. The visions are either of God or the devil. There is no halfway position to be taken in the matter. God does not work in partnership with Satan. Those who occupy this position cannot stand there long. They go a step farther and account the instrument God has used a deceiver and the woman Jezebel. If after they had taken the first step, it should be told them what position they would soon occupy in regard to the visions, they would have resented it as a thing impossible. But Satan leads then on blindfolded in a perfect deception in regard to the true state of their feelings until he takes them in his snare. Letter 7A, 1860, pages 11, 12. To Sister Harriet Smith, June 18, 60. Last night, in plain sight from my bedroom window, the forest was ablaze. Men were at work all night fighting the fire, which was not checked till near morning. Today we are having a nice rain, the first this season. We are very thankful for this rain. We are now to seek God most earnestly. I have been instructed by the Lord that calamities of every description will come upon the world. The end of all things is at hand, and the very things that have been presented to me will take place. Satan is powerful in carrying out his plans. Some are awaking to a realization of what will be in the future. Letter 98, 1910, page 1. To Elder Daniels, October 10, 1910. I have just read again what you wrote regarding your experience at the Battle Creek camp meeting. I am very thankful for this report from you. I am impressed that just such meetings should be held in prominent places like Battle Creek. I have often been assured that as a result, a favorable impression will be made upon the minds of many not of our faith. In the night season, instruction has been given me that many have become confused by the experience of some who have departed from the faith and have given the trumpet an uncertain sound. For the benefit of those who have thus become confused, the message is now to go forth with great power. The evidences of the truth are to be repeated, that the people may see that we are standing in assurance, giving the trumpet a certain sound. The words were spoken to me: "Tell my people that time is short. Every effort is now to be made to exalt the truth." Letter 88, 1910, pages 1, 2. To Elder Daniels, September 30, 1910. For several months, I have been instructed of the Lord that a decided change must be made from this time onward in the carrying forward of our work. Message after message has come to me from the Lord concerning the dangers surrounding you and Elder Prescott. Letter 70, 1910, page 1. To Elder Daniels, August 11, 1910. I have a message for you. Those who serve the cause of God need to be men of prayer, men who will heed the instruction that the Lord is giving regarding the prosecution of His work. I am charged with a message to you both that you need to humble your hearts before God. I am to tell you that neither of you is prepared to discern with clear eyesight that which is needed now. Letter 58, 1910, pages 1, 2. To Elder Daniels and Elder Prescott, June 15, 1910. I wish to express to you some thoughts that should be kept before the sanitarium workers. That which will make them a power for good is the knowledge that the great medical missionary has chosen them for this work, that he is their chief instructor, and that it is ever their duty to recognize him as their teacher. During the night of April 26th, many things were opened before me. I was shown that now, in a special sense, we as a people are to be guided by divine instruction. Letter 61, 1910, page 1. To Elder Burden, April 27, 1910. I find myself frequently placed where I dare give neither assent nor dissent to propositions that are submitted to me, for there is danger that any words I may speak shall be reported as something that the Lord has given me. It is not always safe for me to express my own judgment, for sometimes when someone wishes to carry out his own purpose, he will regard any favorable word I may speak as special light from the Lord. Letter 162, 1907, page 2. To Elder W.C. White, May 8, 1907. The great God has reared his mighty structures in the granite rocks, in the towering mountains, in clefts, in the gulches, in the gorges, and in the castle rocks, and in the caves of the earth. And with these surroundings, the work of God's power, how thankless the heart who needs images of man to worship. The heathen who worship nature, the works of the divine hand, are idolaters. But does not their worship strike the senses as more sensible than the worship of images bearing the mold and impress of finite man? Everything about us teaches us from day to day lessons of our Father's love and of His power, of His laws to govern nature, and that lie at the foundation of all government in heaven and in earth. These rich tokens of God's matchless power, if they will not call the mind to the Creator of heaven and earth, if they will not awaken gratitude in these dull and thankless hearts, will images and shrines of dead men do this? We look upon nature. We see the fields clothed with carpets of living green. We see the variety of his works. In this house God has builded for man, every part of this house, diverse it may be from another, but we trace in unmistakable tokens the handiwork of the great architect. There is beauty in the valleys, awful grandeur in the solemn masses of cleft rocks, majesty in the towering mountains that look as if they touched the heavens. There is the lofty tree with its delicately formed leaves, the spires of grass, the opening bud and blooming flowers, the forest trees, and everything points the mind to the great and living God. White Estate, Washington, D.C., January 26th, 1955.